sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Là, c'est épisode 176. 176. Oh, whoa, oh my god. 176. Yeah, oh my god. I don't know how to speak French anymore. 176. Black man can't be no yuppie. Bear with me on this one. A message to the Oreo cookie. Find a mirror and take a look, G. Do you like what you see? But you're quick to point the finger at me. You want to be a big, do you want to be the big fish, you little guppy? Black man can't be no yuppie.
Message!
You put on your suit and tie and your big clothes. You don't associate with the Negroes. You want to be just like Jack, but Jack is calling you a nigger behind your back. So back off, genius. I don't need you to correct my broken English. You know that's right. You ain't white. So stop holding your ass tight. Cause you can't pass. So why you trying to pass with your black ass? Mr. Big. But in reality, you're shorter than a midge. You only got yourself to blame. Get a grip, Oreo, and be true to the game. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, my God. Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. Beautiful. All right, let's rush this. Before I start the show, before I continue with the show, I want to inform you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake. This podcast is a safe space for my thought. In other words, it's protected by the red, the black, and the green in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question, are you an outcast? I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 29th, 2024. Wednesday, right? It's a hump day. Wednesday. Did I say March? I hope I said May 29th, 2024. All right, okay. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay, les amis, boys and girls, the people, boys and girls, and everyone in between. My throat is still, I'm still feeling sick. I'm still sucking on a fisherman's friend. And shout out to those of you who heard that and said, oh, hey, yo, man, I died with that gay shit. Well, welcome to Canada. In Canada, when you're sick, you suck on them fisherman's fish, fisherman's friend, and you're not ashamed of it. All right, okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah, my point is, I'm sorry, my screen just moved on me. Don't do that to me. Okay, my point is, I need to be careful with how long I talk, and this is what's going to happen. If at some point between breaks, I find myself coughing like I did on previous episodes, I will take a break. And, well, you won't know the difference. But my point is just to say that for those of you who've been, like, sending me your thoughts and prayers while I go through this cold, well, it hasn't been fucking working. I mean, it has, but it's just, you know, not quick. All right, okay. Let's get with the show here. All right, like I always do, just to help you new listeners get familiar with... By the way, you know, what's up to returning listeners? I got nothing but love for you. But for you new listeners, just to help you get familiarized with this podcast, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts that I like to call act, that I prefer to call acts. And the first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. Okay. Now, in the intro so far, what you've heard is the theme, the the title of today's episode, some poetry related to the title of today's episode, and we'll tie into the final thought. And yeah, and everything after that was salutation and a warning to white people on the kind of podcast they're about to listen to. Right. Okay. And yeah, okay. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quote or share a quote or a thought. And this one is from Jean-Paul Sartre. I don't know how to pronounce that in English, but I think it's Sartre. Sartre. You Europeans and your names. Anyway, and it goes, before you come alive, life is nothing. It's up to you to give it a meaning. And value is nothing else but the meaning that you choose. Okay, let me repeat that. Okay, I don't know. I blanked out. Before you come alive, life is nothing. It ain't shit. It's up to you to give it a meaning. And value is nothing else but the meaning that you choose. Holy shit, I thought I understood what it meant. It's up to you to give it a meaning. And value is nothing else but the meaning you that you choose. You know what this reminds me of is a quote I got from oh my god. Come on, air purifier, what do I pay you for? Yeah, I thought like what life is a gift from God, and what you do with that life is your gift to God. Is your gift back to him. Him or her. Whatever. I guess the point of meaning. Anyway. Alright. Shout out to my man Talon Macy. For sharing that on his social media. Alright. Okay. Yeah. That's it for the intro. Now that you're all settled. Now that you're all familiarized with the podcast. Let's jump to using random thoughts. Alright. The second act. Alright. Here we go. Ready? Alright, okay. Okay, first item on the, do people say ducats? Not the money, like, on the roster, on the list, on the agenda. First item is, I gotta celebrate, gotta give myself some props for, where is that thing? Yeah, gotta give myself some props for, finally getting my podcast on YouTube. All right, here we go. Yay! Right, I'm going to fix that and edit. All right, okay, yes, thank you. Pat myself on the back. Small accomplishment, boys and girls. You got to celebrate the small accomplishments. All right, what I mean by YouTube, now, yes, I did mention that I was on YouTube before, but this time I mean that I submitted my RSS feed to YouTube, and now, and linked it as the owner of the, long story short, there's the podcast, the plain podcast, where it's just the audio and my logo, no special feature, is available on YouTube. So if you type to listen to podcasts on YouTube, and it's there. Hold on a second. Last time I checked, I was at 3 subscribers, which kind of, you know, not bad from zero. And let's see. Yep, still 3 subscriber. Okay, I got to call in some favors. I'm going to have to get some of my friends who are on YouTube to subscribe to the podcast. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to press the chicks. Chicks, all about the chicks. All right. Okay. Yeah, so I'm on YouTube. Good for me. All right, second item on the agenda. you know, I've been enjoying hearing theories about what Drake did to make Kendrick mad. No, how do I explain? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about the, you better, I mean, I guess part of the list of this podcast, you better be into hip hop. So if you're a hip hop fan, you are very familiar with the latest diss track that Kendrick dropped, or the latest beef between Drake and Kendrick. And I gotta tell you, man, that diss track from Kendrick wasn't a diss track. It was a grievance. It's kind of like me when I hold it in on someone and then finally let it out, and then they're looking at me going, what the fuck? I thought we were just playing chess here. I didn't understand. I didn't realize you had all those negative feelings against me. Holy shit, should have told me that from the beginning. Anyways, and yeah, I've been enjoying listening takes. So I'm laughing at myself here. Enjoying by takes, pro Kendrick takes about, you know, what makes Drake such a fuckboy or a hateable character. What is it about Drake? You're in face a biche dad there. He's got a punchable face. That's not true. He doesn't have a punchable face. But there's something about his character that just, I don't like you, dude. I don't like you. You know what I mean? Yeah, I probably enjoy some of your music, but I don't know. Anyway, what I'm saying, especially with articulate and or funny takes, right? In this particular one, there's a lot I went through. I added one in the other links section of the pod, in the show notes, but this one here, I feel the I want to share with y'all. And here it goes. The content creator's name is Suku. That's his name. Suku. Okay, here we go.
At one time, we were all equally confused, not just me, about when Kendrick said, back to back, I like that record. I'm going to get back to that for the record. And then come to find out, he meant he was going to go back to back. It has come to my attention that he literally went back to back for the record. Because Drake went back to back one time. Mm-hmm. Kendrick went back to back twice. You see what I'm saying? He went back. I'm gonna get back to that for the record. Also, one of my favorite parts from Euphoria, I don't see anybody talking about because it's such a small thing. I like the way he interrupts himself when he says, I'm what the culture feeling.
Not just me, I'm what the culture feeling.
I just like that little nuance. It's dope. And another thing, if we're being honest, I tried to make my reactions through the whole thing as unbiased as possible.
Okay, I'm gonna pause this, right? Because this is actually the part that I really wanted you to hear. And also, I want to add, I interrupt him to say that about trying to not be biased. I think I've given up. Fuck it, man. I'm going to admit, man, if there was like a jury, if I was part of a jury and Drake was up for whatever, like Drake, I could not be partial. I mean, I can't be partial. I'm Team Kendrick. I'm not just Team Kendrick. I'm like the apostle. I'm following like, he's Jesus, and I'm that nigga that small, was it Zachary? The dude in the tree. All right, here we go.
But if I'm being for real, I hate Drake. I don't hate him. I just hate the way he reacted to Control verse 10 years ago, however long ago that was. The way he reacted to the Control verse today, nigga. That was so trash.
Okay, I had no idea, and brace yourself. Here it is. Here we go.
Y'all remember what he did, right? He went on interviews like, do you even remember how that verse really started?
That verse was a moment to talk about. Are you listening to it now at this point in time? Okay. And then it was real cool for like, you know, a couple weeks. But like, if I asked you, for example, like, how does that verse start?
Yeah. And he was on Angie like, well, I don't know, I saw him the other day and he was cool, so I don't know, is it real, is it? He was being a little bitch about the Control verse. Everybody else Kendrick name was cool with it except for Drake.
Bro, Jesus. Okay, so I had no idea that Drake reacted like that to the Control verse. Now, here's the thing. Drake, my God, look at me. Talking about celebrities who make way more money than me. Anyway, yeah, Drake, give it. What the fuck? I still remember that Control verse, man. That shit was like a hip-hop 9/11. I mean, sure, yes, he did say, you know, I'm usually friends with niggas that I'm rhyming with. fuck. I hate when I do that. Okay, hold on a second. I'm not gonna. Whoops. I am not going to mess up this verse. Not on this podcast. Just give me a second here. Control, Kendrick. You know, that verse was so dope that I forgot that Big Sean and Jay Electronica was on it. Okay, control verse. And the line goes, let me in, Rap Genius. Yeah, that's right. I'm a black guy who gets his lyrics from Rap Genius, all right? Subi. All right, he goes, the line, he says, by the way, Drake, the line starts, tell Flex to drop a bomb on this shit. Okay, all right. The line where he says specifically, shout out to those of you who are like repeating it in your head and are frustrated at me as I find it. Goes, yeah, that line. I love it. I'm usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with. I love that line. But this is hip hop and them niggas should know what time it is. And then he follows up with, and that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Creep, Wale, Pusha T, Mick Mills, ASAP, Rocky, Drake. Drake. Nigga, that shit was a fucking compliment to be on that list. You should have been insulted if you weren't on that list. Bro, I think I heard that verse and I'm like, okay, bro, you surpassed Maestro Fresh Quest at this point. Right? You were named in a diss track. And here's the thing. That line, if you know your hip hop history, that line, him represent, isn't as significant as the previous line above where he declares himself the king of New York. Yo, that shit was a 9/11 to hip hop and New York. Yo, rappers from New York reacted with that verse. They were like, yo, fuck that nigga. They took that shit personally. Anyway, yeah, I'm just saying, it's kind of funny that Drake heard this verse and he made it all about himself. Oh, fuck that nigga, man. Shit. It's not even a good track. Shit, this shit didn't even rhyme. Hold on. Wally and Drake doesn't rhyme. Anyways, whatever. Yeah, man. I'm just, since Euphoria, I've been on this journey where I've been appreciating Kendrick's music a lot more. And Kendrick and his era of hip hop, Kendrick and J. Cole, actually all three of them, their eras of hip, since Euphoria, I've been listening to less 90s hip hop. I'm not saying I've given up on it, but I've let it, for the first time, I find myself going, you know what? Let me see what other hip hop is out there. Sorry, can you hear my voice? Yeah, I'm losing. Okay, all right, let's wrap this up. Anyways, you know, I was really excited to record this episode, even though I'm losing my voice. I should be drinking some ginger tea and sucking on a fisherman's friend. What else is there? Yeah, okay, anyways, yeah. So all this to say, shout out to you content creators. Especially you. You know, there's this one brother who, he's like on the Drake side, and a Canadian guy too, from Toronto. And and I hated him because he said some pro-Drake shit. I know, it's silly. It's silly as fuck. But I mean, it's like, man, this shit's got me emotional, man. Yeah, whatever. I make no apologies for it, all right? Fuck it. All right. Again, I'm admitting that I cannot be on a jury if Drake is the defendant, if Drake's being prosecuted. All right, okay. What else do I got? Okay, next item on the agenda. Oh, I love this one. Okay, again, new listeners, every once in a while I like to go on the tick on social medias. This podcast is pretty much sharing shit that I find on social media. And this one here, I really enjoyed. Content creator's name is Haley Page McGee. And the title is, the more you heal, the worse you get at these five things. And sister said some shit that I just, you know, I'll just play it. Here we go.
The more you heal, the worse you get at these five things. One, you get worse at maintaining relationships based solely on guilt or obligation. And that's a good thing. Life is short and you deserve to be in relationships that don't just take, but also give value and enjoyment. Two, you get worse at shape-shifting to be whatever other people want you to be. And that's a good thing. It feels harder and harder to betray yourself. And other people's disappointment feels easier to hold than your own inauthenticity. Three, you get worse at tolerating other people's disrespect. And instead of trying to convince people to treat you with basic dignity, you start walking away. and that's a good thing. 4, you get worse at caring about other people's negative judgments of you, especially if they've never given you a reason to trust or respect them. And that's a good thing. Not everyone's opinion of you deserves your mental real estate. And 5, you get worse at tolerating how often you vent about the same relationship. And instead you realize that you have agency over the dynamics you choose to participate in. And that's a good thing, because feeling into that agency is really empowering. You're getting worse at these things because you're realizing that this is your life, and not everyone is entitled to your time and your energy. And that's a good thing. Stop people pleasing and find your power teaches you exactly how to let go of these dynamics that no longer serve you. Snag your copy today at the link in my bio.
So if I'm laughing, it's because I just realized what partly inspired the final thought. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to say shout out to the sister for sharing these words of wisdom. And then I'll save whatever I want to say. I'll keep it for a final thought. All right, here we go. The one point that I will make is how it ties into the quote that I shared. Before you come alive, the whole point about giving life meaning. And you can't give life true meaning if you don't live your authentic self. My God! Jesus Christ, my God! Holy shit, that's some fire I'm just giving out there. And that's for free. I'm giving this shit out for free. I'm just saying, that's some wisdom. All right, okay. Fuck, I love that line. All right, okay, so next on the agenda. Oh, yes, this one. Now I remember why I wanted to record. I love content that make me, like, strikes the passion, all right? Strikes at the emotion. Like, I can talk. Like, I got to watch my time because I could, oh, shit. Okay, just making sure I hit record. I got to, yeah, this is loud. Fuck, the editing for this episode is going to suck. For me, not for you. All right, okay. Où's que j'étais? Yeah. Content creator that I appreciate. Another content I appreciate. Her name is Sugiya. Sugiya1. Oh, okay, I guess her account must have been. Anyway, Sugiya, that's what she calls herself. And, okay, this next clip, again, the links is in the show notes. I'm not going to play the whole thing. That's why I say the link's in the show notes so you can listen to the rest of it. But I'm going to focus on the beginning where she talks about absolute rage. In response to, I guess this is the news aspect. If you've been following the news, like I've been trying to avoid doing for mental health reasons, Israel, the IDF, I'm trying to watch my word. Yeah, okay, the IDF, Israel's army, have like did some fuck shit and basically have bombed Rafah. And I'm not going to go into the details, but they went from, y'all, if you guys want to stay safe, head south. And then they got all these people to head south and they bombed that shit. And then, anyway. And this is Sugiya responding to, like anyone would, articulating her thoughts about the situation. Here we go.
I've just been frozen. If you don't know, and I don't know how you couldn't know, and if you don't know, this is part of the problem, but the Israeli government bombed a safe zone. A zone where they told people, men, women, children, go here, you will be safe here, and you can take refuge here. They fucking bombed them. Fucking dropped 2,000-pound bombs on top of these people that had nothing to protect them but plastic tents. And I vacillate so quickly between just sorrow and anguish to just absolute rage. And if you don't feel this type of rage over something like this, then I would say, like, I worry about your conscience, but that tells me that you probably never had a fucking conscience at all.
You know, the more I realize, the more I hear, I mean, this is the third time hearing this, and I'm realizing that we're on the same page. You know, the difference is she's a lot better than I am at articulating her rage. So in my case, I responded to her comment, and it was meant to say, basically, it was heartfelt. It was, look, it came from a place of helplessness, anger, and bring back helplessness. And I said something, I wrote a statement that, you know, I'm going to elaborate. I'm going to share it, right? I guess trying to say it in a small box, it was meant to be louder than a bomb. Shout out to Chuck D for Public Enemy for the term louder than a bomb. It was meant to make people be like, it was both meant to make people think. It was also meant to make the IDS soldiers who like drop it. It's like, yeah, I want to hurt your feelings helplessly. But I guess I'm realizing that it probably had some unintended intentions, because the way it was, and it was also inspired by, I forget the name of the author, and she was describing, she's a Palestinian author, and she was talking about how, she's a humanist, right? And she was talking about how she needs to, how did she say it? She's careful about how she expresses, I guess she was trying to say, she doesn't allow herself to get angry by the situation. She's angry, but it's not to the point where it's unproductive. And I forget the name of this author. I heard about her from on some episode on Canada Land. No, actually, not Canada Land. Détour with Emily Nicola. She's also known, right? Emily Nicola. What? Anyways, and the point she was saying is like, how, what's going on, what Israel is doing, it's not the last, they're not the last people to do that. This legacy of committing fucking humans, we suck, man. There's gonna be another group that's gonna commit some atrocities, and basically the way she said it, it's like, take all the human atrocity, right, and that goes on in the world, and it's as if, like, hurt people, hurt people. The point was, hurt people, hurt people. And it's also this whole idea of, I'm getting ready to tell you what I said. But it's also comes from the idea of, what do you call that? The epidemic of violence. Like, Icy said it well. We hit them, they hit us. They hit us and we hit them. I'm going to be honest with you, man. If I was in Israel, if I was a citizen of that country, maybe I'd be on the side of fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them and the niggas. I'm down with my niggas. Our safety over everything. Maybe I'd be one of them. And I'm admitting I cannot have a conversation. I'm not talking about Zionists because they're gone. But if there's like, I know how I'm. Look, I still remember myself after the Iraq war, after 9/11. I bought into the media. I was like, man, whatever the fuck, Bush is a fucking idiot, but whatever the fuck he wants to do, let's do it. I'm not even an American citizen. I mean, I'm glad, shout out to Jean-Claude Sayre for not jumping into the coalition of willing, but my point is, my passion got the best of me. I say all this shit because the comment that I left was, fuck, I feel like Malcolm X explaining the rooster coming out to roost. Anyway, I said how Hitler killed himself in a bunker, but these guys are continuing his legacy of committing atrocities. There's one time I think I wrote like, yo, the only difference between y'all and Hitler is that nigga, y'all ain't killing Jews. Now, I've said that on Reddit. I made a similar comment on Reddit, and I said it on Twitter. Both cases, those shit got removed from social media. Now, and to the point that I'm trying to make is, one is, yes, I'm a passionate person. I can get emotional. But on the social media, people like me need to watch their temper. During the whole George Floyd thing, I couldn't join the protests. No, I was just one man behind a keyboard. I kept saying shit that kept ending putting me in Facebook jail. And then towards the end, Facebook was like, yeah, man, we're going to need you to upload your ID. Fuck that. You're nuts. And the thing is, I'm not I never felt like I'm the guy in writing graffiti's niggers go home. It's not. Shit, I wonder if it's even. Here's the thing. I did want it to be a louder than a bomb, but like a bomb, maybe it hurt the wrong people. Like maybe someone saw that comment and was like, maybe someone Jewish saw that comment and said, yeah, this guy's one of those, and not Zionist type. I mean like the wounds from World War II are still like, the wounds are still real, or they're still healing from that shit. And for me, I'm like, it's easy for me to make like that kind of comparison. I'm not a monster. You know what I feel? I feel like, what's his name? The dude who made MP3.com. Okay, sit back, kids. I'm going to give you a quick history lesson, right? Back in the days, the early days of internet, when Napster was around, there was a dude, Michael something. I forget his name. Anyways, the CEO of MP3.com, a company I really wanted to work for. Doesn't matter. I admire them. And what he ended up doing is he took music. He was one of the first pioneers to take music, rip the CDs, and make it available online. And the idea was, hey, this was before streaming. The idea was you can go anywhere and your music is available to you. You don't need to walk with your CDs. It's going to be available on the internet and blah, blah, blah. He did that. Great, great, great intentions and shit like that. But the music business was like, hey, motherfucker, you're stealing money from us. It's fucked up that now they stole his idea. Anyways, I remember going to a presentation. I was in San Diego. CEO. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to continue until I remember his fucking name. Sorry, his name is CEO of MP3.
Are you an outcast?
You know what just happened, guy? Hold on, say. Hold on. I'm laughing. Okay. Okay, let me use a different keyboard. The reason I'm laughing is because I needed the number 3 on that keyboard is a shortcut for Are You an Outcast? And I'm laughing at myself. So, okay, MP3.com CEO. Oh shit, there we go. And his Michael Robertson, there we go. Yeah, huge fan of this dude. Okay, I'm trying to remember to put a link to MP3.com, right? Anyway, so you can read the history for yourself. Anyway, I was at some tech shit, whatever, and he was giving a speech, and he was talking about how this was after, you know, after the poor bastard got sued by all these music business and shit like that. Damn. Anyway, and he was talking about how when he first did that shit, he only saw music as ones and zero, as data. Ones and zero, that's it. He didn't see it like it's, what the fuck, what do I care? And then later he realized that, yo, music is more than just ones and zeros. It's more than data that you can store on a hard drive. It's emotions, it's feeling, it's connection, it's, you know, it's bigger than ones and zeros. So in my mind, when I did that comparison about when I made that analogy about Hitler, and I was careless about it, right? I was trying to make a point that this other woman, author, took the time to make, and I did it in like in 150 characters. I guess what I'm trying to say is I can understand why it got removed. I'm not going to appeal it. I get it. I'm thinking of the possibility maybe that one person whose feelings I unintentionally hurt. I'm scared. I mean, I apologize. I mean, to them, I say sorry. But I don't apologize for the emotion. Like, yeah. I guess what I'm... Yeah, I'm just trying to say... I don't like having my shit deleted. Even, you know, it came from the heart. I don't like rocking the boat. I don't like hurt. I don't intentionally go out to hurt people's feelings. but I am passionate. I'm emotional. And I feel like Cyclops. Sometimes I gotta like, I gotta wear my visors and I gotta be careful about who I let out. I guess the biggest problem is the point that I was trying to make didn't get across. Anyways, I'm still learning. Growth. It's all about growth. But yes, to Sister Sujia, I hear you, sister. This shit bothers me. I've been comparing what's going on in Israel, in Gaza, and Palestine. It's like I feel like I'm a child, and listening to in the other room, my uncle beat on his wife, and my parents are like, "Shh, don't say anything," and I'm like, "This ain't right. This, I mean, we should be doing something." Like it's so something about it feels wrong. And yet the people who could do anything about it are telling me, shh, nope, they're just defending themselves. Like, they're gaslighting me. No, ain't nothing to see there. Oh, that's bullshit. Did you not see the fucking kids dying? And it was, all right, okay. By the way, this reminds me that, please go to my show notes and go to the other link section. I purposely, because of this bad news, I purposely try to put in more comedy links to make you laugh more than to cry. All right. I'm glad I got that off my chest. All right. Let's jump to final thoughts. And I can feel my voice cracking up. I really need to drink a ginger tea. Shout out to my coworkers, my immigrant coworkers who were like, yeah, ginger tea, man. I say immigrant coworkers because it felt sincere when they were like, bro, man, drink some ginger tea. And, yeah, like, you know, I used to date this Jamaican girl and she was like, when I had a cold, she was like, yeah, this is vodka, rum. I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to argue with her. Anyways, because it kills the bacteria, right? I know, whatever. Okay, I need to drink some ginger tea. That's my point. All right, let's jump to the last act. All right, y'all ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, hold on. Let me take this sip of water before I continue. Excuse me. You know, I was thinking about how on the last episode, I talked about how I'm barely holding on to life and feeling like I'm an outcast. And it doesn't help. I mean, to add to the image, I was thinking about how I'm a highly sensitive person with an air purifier. I'm saying you can understand why every once in a while I have the idea that, yeah, I don't think I was meant to be here. So the big and the strong, you got to go and, no, the weak and the strong, you got to go and on. Yeah, I don't feel part of the strong. One time I was at Home Depot trying to buy looking into air purifier and the clerk lady, and she let that, whatever, she's answering all my questions. And she let it slip out. It's like, I think I said, do you have an air purifier? He goes, no, I'm not weak like you. What bitch? I'm paraphrasing. She says something like that. But I remember my feelings being hurt. And I'm like, I'm not going to buy. Last thing I need is this chick to think I'm some kind of bitch. I'm just going to suffer. All right, okay. Final thoughts. Okay, here we are. What's up with today's title? Okay, for those who don't know, the poetry that I recited came from the great poet O'Shea Jackson, better known as Ice Cube, and from his song True to the Game on the Death Certificate album. Fun fact, when he references a rapper, there's a part in the song, the second verse, where he references a rapper. I thought he was talking about N.W.A. or Eazy-E. And apparently he was talking about MC Hammer, but that's fun fact. But anyways, why did I pick this today as a title? Okay, let me first start off by saying that I'm going to admit to you that I'm being a little harsh. I'm being a little hard on myself in referencing that title. The last verse is in reference to black people who cooning up. black man can't be no yuppie. I had a moment in therapy session this week where I found myself realizing that, holy shit, I've been cooning. I'm in cooning. No, my therapist didn't call me a coon. I'm just saying, while we're in exchange of conversation, in my brain, my mind went into, that'd be fucked up when your therapist calls you a coon. I want a refund. Anyway, my thought went somewhere, and I found myself realizing that remembering how my inability, this thought that I have of, I have an inability to keep it real with white folks. This is a story I meant to share. I thought I was going to make it into a bit, but it might be too long, but I'm just going to share an anecdote. This one time, me and my cousin, we went to this restaurant. It was a bar, actually, right? Yeah, it was a bar, not a restaurant. Be clear. It has to be emphasized that it's a bar. Irish theme and all that shit, right? And, yeah, the bar was not too far from my work, but that's not the point. Why the fuck were we there in the first place? But doesn't matter. Whatever. Went to this bar and to get something to eat. I go for the menu, and I noticed they got jerk chicken. Mm-mm-mm. Now, I don't think you understand. From the first time I've tried jerk chicken, it was like love after the first bite. I remember, like, you know, surrounded by my Jamaican friends, like, what? You never had jerk chicken before? And I'm like, I don't think I can trust any chicken that's called jerk. There's no way I'm gonna, oh my God. Anyway, whatever. I think I even fell in love with Jamaican women. Anyways, so I saw jerk chicken on the menu and I mentioned I'm in the bar, right? So apparently not a great idea, but doesn't matter. So I ordered the jerk chicken. I'm like, how the fuck? Oh, and I remember when we walked in, I noticed there was a black dude inside in the kitchen. So I assume he must be the cook, and I'm assuming he was Jamaican, whatever. Anyways, then food comes to my desk, to my table, and I eat that shit, and I gotta tell you, man, worst jerk chicken ever. Yo, if that dude, that shit was like an act of war. Let me tell you something, man. Jerk chicken is so good that I'm willing to tolerate bad customer service. I'm willing to deal with an angry, impatient cashier who's like, hey, who makes fun of my English. Talk shit about my mama just to get that jerk chicken. Usually the worst the customer service. Like, I mean, I'm willing to go to a Jamaican restaurant that just passed the health inspection. Just passed it. Because usually that shit is fucking good. The one thing I find myself I will not tolerate is you fucking up the recipe to jerk chicken, which these assholes did. So I thought, yo, man, yo, fuck. I took it personal. I'm like, I'm looking at my cousin. It's like, bro, we gonna fuck this nigga up. And my cousin's like, whatever. He's Mr. Indifferent. Just to be clear, I'm not the fighter type, but I was enraged. Like, I ever been so angry that you have all the strength inside you? You like, you believe that you can take on? Like, I felt like the Hulk, that kind of rage. So I'm like, fucking, you know, calling the homies and shit like that. Telling my cousins, you'll hide out because I'm about to go to war with this nigga. And so, and then, just as I'm getting ready to like use this butter knife as a weapon. This white guy comes up out of nowhere, out of the kitchen. He goes, so what did you think of the jerk chicken? I'm trying to stop laughing. Man, I found myself being, man, it was all right. It was all right. I lied to this white man. There was something about, I don't know if this white dude said, hey, let's see what these black people think. I knew I was fucking lying. But there was something about that white face. I couldn't get myself to say, this shit's an, what the fuck is a disgusting, the white man came out and I'm like, it was all right. And I was so disappointed in my, I knew I was lying. But I remember leaving that moment and realizing that I cannot keep it real with white folks. It had me thinking about how, okay, this is a story more about how, about code switching, right? And it's a discussion I've been having with, it's a frequent discussion I had with my therapist about how I don't know if I'm code switching or if I'm tap dancing. I don't know if I'm code switching or if I'm like, sometimes I don't know who the real me is. Sometimes I wonder, like, I I'm lying. The identity I put up when I'm at work, I'm not saying I don't recognize that guy, but something, you know, I feel like Omar Epps in Too Deep or Donnie Brasco. You know what I mean? Like the person who goes undercover and then all of a sudden they can't tell, shit, am I a cop or am I a drug dealer? When I'm at work, holy shit, I'm so glad there's no cameras. The person you hear on this podcast is not the person you'll see at my work. But I've always known that, yo, when you're around these white folks, you gotta appease them. You can't stay, you know, they're like one brochure away from joining the Klan here. So you gotta like appease, okay, you gotta appease them. I found myself, okay, this is like, I'm exploring this idea, right, about code switching. I also realized that, again, I live in Canada, I live in Ottawa. I'm like knee deep, I'm like flooded with whiteness. I'm like drowning in whiteness, right? Sometimes I feel like I call myself be black to compensate how not black I feel, because I'm just surrounded by white people, and I acclimate, and I was thinking about in school how some of my teachers had no business being around black kids, had no business teaching, let alone being around black kids. Because they would like infest us with bullshit ideas. Or maybe it's my interpretation, because I don't know how, you know, some people got out better than I did, made it out better than I did. But I think I remember growing up feeling like, hey, sure, you're Canadian. Your citizen says Canadian, but deep down, you're a nigger. They never, of course, teachers didn't call you nigger, but they was like, they always made me feel like, it always felt like, I want to say, I'm not going to say they made me feel, but it always felt like I was a guest in this country and I needed to be grateful that I didn't grow up in a shithole like Haiti. And I don't want to, like, amongst, it's not that I was in Canada, it's not just that I was in Canada, that I was surrounded by white people. It's a blessing to be in our presence. And it's like, I felt like they were I was molded on how to be around white people. Right? Like, in order to survive around us, you need to conform. I remember one teacher saying shit like, yeah, in English it translates to, it's like you need to make yourself valued. Right? And it's like they were big on respectability politics. What about my parents? I think my parents bought into that. My parents, it's like they gave less a fuck about cultural identity, but more about religious identity. And by religious, I mean Christian, white Christian identity. We had a picture of white Jesus and his disciples, the final dinner, all white people in our kitchen. And my parents have no idea how that image used to fuck with me. It's like, it didn't hurt my feelings at the moment, but subconsciously I was getting the image of because of your black skin, something is wrong with you. That picture is a picture of the divine, of God and his people. You, they not like us. Like, I felt like Jesus was like, they not like us, looking at us. You know, I just felt like, anyways, I'm just saying, fast forward to me at work. Like, I'm going in there code switching. Like, I know there's certain shit that you know, leave it in the street. There's certain things that I do with my family or with other black folks. There's things that I do at the barbershop that I can't do at work. So I conform. And the thing is, It's not just the realization, it's not just code switching, but it was like code switching mixed with people pleasing. It's code switching with the belief that I have to be the magical Negro in this setting, in amongst white people. I gotta be like, oh, we go for a divorce? Well, Let me help you out. Like, here's the thing. I code switch so fucked up that sometimes I find myself engaging in conversations with white people that they should be having with other white people. Like, I've had white people, like, drop the N-word. And in their mind, it's like, no, I'm not calling you a nigger. I'm calling them a nigger. You're not a nigger. You're be black. You know, it's like they forget they're talking to a black dude. So it's like, I don't want to call it code switching. I want to call, like, it's like next level. It's like a racist people pleasing. Well, not people pleasing, but it's like a white people pleasing. That's what it is. Okay, I don't have a general term. Anyway, I just found myself, after leaving that session, reflecting on code switching and the toll it's taking on my... The shit is killing me. The toll it's taking on my soul. So, all this to say, I remember thinking, like, when I've had these moments when I'm like, oh, B, fuck, man, what are you trying to... You just magical Negroed yourself today. You just cooned it up. And I found myself wanting to call my... it's just the words, black man can't be no yuppie. I felt like Ice Cube was like, that third verse was Ice Cube talking to me. Now, I gotta be careful there. I am a black Canadian. I'm a black guy from Canada. So I can't use black American standards to measure my blackness. I got to use the metric system. Get it? The metric system. They use the empirical system. We use the metric system. What I'm saying is my black experience is different from black Americans. So the reality is, I guess I've grown enough to know that, fuck that. Out of all the people in the world, I can't allow Ice Cube out of all fucking people to judge my blackness. I get that. And that's what I mean by being harsh. But I am admitting that in the work environment, I don't know who I am. It's so fucked up that I remember wondering that, again, I might make this into a bit. When I think about the Haitian Revolution, and I started to question the possibility that maybe my ancestors, and I apologize to my ancestor if this is inaccurate, but I was looking at the way at how docile I was at work, how people-pleasing, how undercover, how fucking, how much I cooned up at work with these white folks. Again, I'm being a little harsh on myself, but I'm saying how I was a version of, how much I didn't like the version of myself at work. And I was wondering, fuck, who would I have been during the Haitian Revolution? Because, I mean, the way I'm obedient with these white people, maybe I'm wondering if I was one of those people who was like, when Dessalines was recruiting people, I'm like, fuck of that shit. Fuck, we got it good with these white folks. They're with their fool. On va se battre avec les Français? With the French? Are you fucking nuts? Fuck that. Look, if I'm lucky, the slavery shit will kill me. Within a week. Massa been good to us. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I was starting to worry that I was not one of the people that Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture was able to recruit. And they were like, yo, fuck, man. If I wasn't so busy, I'd kill this nigga. Okay, I gotta admit, okay. I'm admitting to myself that I am being harsh on myself. The growth part in that statement is before I was like, yeah, no, I hate myself. But now I'm like figuring things out. Oh, right. Okay. Getting worse. I forgot to write that. So homegirl who wrote, who talked about, what's her name? McGee? About that content creator. The more you heal, the more you suck at being a... I agree with that statement because I'm realizing that if I'm angry, it's that I'm able to notice it's like, be careful. You're about to coon it up here. You're about to do some fuck shit. You know what I mean? And careful. This is the information age. Last thing you need is black people recording you on YouTube. Tap dancing for these crackers. All right, boys and girls. Let me wrap this up. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, again, I got to tell you, on this podcast, I don't offer solutions. I'm just a guy who, like, thinks a lot, thinks things through. So it's just trying to think things through. Maybe one day I'll be able to give you a beautiful conclusion that we can all learn from. But for now, it's just, these are just thoughts. I'm just thinking out loud. With all that said, thank you for listening. This concludes another episode of Shut Up Podcast. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these internet streets at shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. So check it out. Not that I'm on YouTube, I can say shit like, look, if you go on your favorite podcast, podcatcher, and you can't find us, then please just go to the website, and there's a big link called RSS feed, and use the RSS feed to subscribe to the podcast. All right? With that said, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. No, seriously, I really hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And as always, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I am your king now!